Thank you for joining us in the season of prayer. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. I don't plan to be long tonight, but I know sometimes things don't go as planned, but I don't think I will. I just have a burden on my heart and a message that I believe God wants me to give, found here in Luke chapter number 8, a very familiar story. The people that read about the miracles of Christ and the life of Christ, and as you study that, this is one of the more famous events, I think. Songs have been written about it, just so much about this story I find interesting, but I believe God has something for us tonight. So if you're there, Luke chapter number 8, let's all stand for a moment. We can stretch, and also in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse number 40. Luke chapter 8, verse 40, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when a woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" I want to speak briefly this evening. As I mentioned, I don't plan to be long, but I want to speak on touched but not changed. Touched but not changed. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you do for us. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray tonight, God, that you would use us. Use your word. Use me as your mouthpiece, God. I pray that you would speak to hearts, and I would be obedient to your lead. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I mentioned, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I think a lot of people know about this story about the woman who knew. I mean, she just knew that if she just touched but his clothes, as well as she put it, "If I could just touch but his clothes, I'd be healed." She believed that wholeheartedly. She would go there and press through that crowd of people to get to Jesus, just to touch him, just to be able to, not even him, just to touch his clothes, just to be able to get and feel that power of God to bring healing to her body that she's dealt with for 12 years. I see in this story here, there's two people with a need. Two people that came to Jesus. The first one we see there is Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue. But Jairus had a great need. And it wasn't a personal need for himself as this lady who had the issue of blood. And I think it's very interesting, both of these, the daughter was 12 years old and the lady had the issue for 12 years. I don't find that significant. I just find it interesting that there was 12 years involved there. Jairus with the 12-year-old daughter and this lady who the whole life of Jairus' daughter has dealt with this issue, has dealt with this health problem and has faced it and has fought this problem for 12 long years. But here's Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, ruler of the synagogue. And we know from reading in the scripture, these people did not like Jesus. They did not like his teaching. They did not like him. They did not want people to listen to them. But this guy had a need, and he believed Jesus could meet that need. So he came, despite probably what would cause him ridicule, despite possibly being excommunicated from the church or whatever, despite all that, he says, I got to get to Jesus because I believe if he can get to my house and touch my daughter, she could be healed. We see here that she was dying. I mean, she was close to death. He knew this. He knew that there was no one else that could help. The doctors couldn't help her, but he believed Jesus could. And he found his way and found Jesus and besought Jesus, please come to my house. And Jesus was going. We read from the other scriptures that he was going, the disciples were going with him. And as he was going, this crowd of people was just all about him. And this lady who was trying to get to Jesus was there too. She had that issue of blood. She went to others for help for 12 years. Maybe Jesus hadn't been in her town to where she can come to him. She didn't have that opportunity, but now she did. After 12 years, she had that opportunity to seek out Jesus to get the help because she's tried others. She's tried everything. The Bible tells us that she spent all. She spent all. And she'd probably be willing to spend more if she had it to get a healing. But the Bible says that in verse 48, she spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. There's no hope. No hope from all the physicians, all that she could do. There was no hope, but she believed Jesus could. She believed so much that Jesus could that she believed if I could just touch, put his garment. This issue that I've spent money, that I've spent all my life and spent sought out physicians and sought out help from everyone else. If I could just touch his garment, just his clothes, if I could just touch it, I could be healed. And then Jesus asked the question when that happened, in verse 45, who touched me? I think it's interesting here, too. It says, when all denied, yet the disciples say, the multitude thronged thee. Everybody's touching you, Jesus. But yet everybody said, no, not me. I didn't do it. When all denied, I didn't touch you. Disciples were there with him. There was a multitude of people thronging him. And I had to look this word up, thronging. Interesting word. We don't use that word today. We don't say something about thronging. But when I looked it up, the word throng means to be held together with constraint, to compress. To press on every side, so like you would take a something to keep it from falling apart or coming apart, like you would do a bundle of wheat, you compress that, tie it together, and hold it together. That's what that means, to press it together and hold it, constrain it. That's what they were saying, that there's people are pressing against you, holding you, constraining you. You can barely even move in this crowd of people, this multitude of people. They're thronging you. They're pressing you. They're constraining you. You can't move here. And yet you're asking who touched you? Who touched you? And then when he asked that, who touched me, it's a different word. I looked that up. There's a couple different words. If you look up in the Strong's Concordance, and it's a good thing that the technology we have, and I tell my Sunday school class a lot, and I hope they're doing it, and if you're not in my Sunday school class, I'm going to tell you that nowadays it's so easy to get a hold of things that can help you. I know there's easy to get a hold of things that can hurt you too, but it's easy to get a hold of things that can help you. We talk a lot about the Strong's Concordance. We talk about 1828 dictionaries. Both of those things, you can get free apps on your phone, if you have a smartphone. And so it's easy to look these words up. So easy for me to pull up the word throng on the Strong's Concordance and find out what it means. The same thing with the word touch. And you find out if you look up touch in the New Testament, the Greek words, I found three different words of the word touch. There's three different meanings of that. The word here, touch, haptomai, it's more like an intimate touch to cling to. Or to fasten oneself to, adhere to cling to. And it talks kind of like an intimate, a carnal knowledge, a touch. It's the same word used in 1 Corinthians 7:1, where it says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. This is an intimate meaning of this word touch, to a knowledge, haptomai. And he says, who touched me? There was different of that touch from that woman who on purposely tried to touch Jesus to get something, then these people who were compressing and restraining and, as it mentioned, thronging him, the people, the crowd of people, and it says, they throng thee and press thee. And he asks, who touched me? He says, I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Somebody touched me differently than everyone else. And I don't know how many people were there that day. I know there was Jairus. I know there was this lady. I know that there were disciples. And the Bible says there was a multitude of people. But yet I think of all those people who was changed. Obviously, this woman was changed. Jairus, he was able to have Jesus come to his house, and he did touch his daughter, told her to rise up, and she did. When everyone else said she was dead, and he said, she's just sleeping. I said, rise up, and she did. But of all those people that were there, that were touching him, they wasn't changed. And I thought about that. And it, as I mentioned, I'm burdened about this. If you look up different touches in the Bible, in the New Testament, where the Greek, you come up with another word, a thigano, which means to touch, to handle, and even in a way of injuring. There's a selephio, and I'm speaking Greek here, so pardon me for mispronouncing, but it means to handle, to touch, to feel. These are different words of touch, but when Jesus said, who touched me, this was one about to fasten oneself to, adhere to cling to, an intimate touch. And she was the only one. Jesus felt the other touches, but it wasn't like hers, where he would stop in that crowd of people and say, who touched me? And we all know he's God. He knows who it was, so it wasn't like he didn't know, and he had to say, who was it that did that? He obviously knew that. We know that. God asks questions a lot of times to get people to come out and say, it was me. Just like when he asked Adam in the garden, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Think God didn't know where he was? We all know better than that. And we know Jesus here, he knew who touched him. But yet he asked in front of this crowd of people because he didn't just want her to realize and come forward and say it was me, but also wanted all those people, in front of all those people, the multitude of people who were saying, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Not me. They all denied. And he says, somebody touched me. And then her trembling, scared, when she realized that she couldn't be hid, she was scared, fell at his feet and told him, this is why I did it. And he told her, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Her life was forever changed. The Bible says immediately when she touched him, immediately the issue was healed. And her life was forever changed because she touched him differently. So I thought about this, and I thought about Christianity, and I thought about how, and as I mentioned, I'm so burdened because I see so many people in churches fall. They get out. They get tired of church or whatever. They get tired. I mean, people that were faithful to God, people that grow up in church, children that grow up in church, and people look at them and say, they're going to be something someday for God. And yet they decide to go on their own way and get out of church and do their own thing. I think, what happened? They sat under the same preaching I did. The Spirit of God moved, and I've been in service after service after service here where you know the Spirit of God is moving in this place. And you have too. And you know they had to have been touched. But there was no change. They sing the songs of God. They read the same Bible I do. They hear the same preaching. But no change. And I think, what is it? And I looked at this story and I realized, you know, what are you after? You're here tonight in church. This is a Wednesday night. Many of you worked all day today, and you're tired, and yet you come to church. Why? What are you after? What is it that you want when you come to church? And I think of so many people, and I'm not saying our church. I pray to God it's not our church. But so many people look at church and Christianity as just something to do, something we do. I've always gone to church, so I do it. I go to church, and that's an interesting point too. In today's day, we go to church. Back in this day, they were the church. You know, if we had that mindset of we are the church, that's not somewhere we go. We're the church. We're the church. It should be that today, but it's different. It's changed. It's so often that we go to church, we go there, and it's something that we do. We sit in the church, we sing the songs, we hear the preacher preach, and we go home, and we feel good about ourselves because we did what a Christian ought to do. God tells us to go to church, does he not? Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is something we're supposed to do. We should feel bad if we don't go to church. But when we go, just going to church shouldn't be our goal. We went to church, so check the box. Is that what you want? Is that why you came? Or did you come, as Apostle Paul said, that I may know him? That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know Christ. I want to touch Christ in an intimate way. Not just something that I can handle, but something that's going to change me, that I can grasp to and get a hold of. And even though this lady just touched his clothes, that word there that is used for touched, again, it's a word that means to fasten oneself to, adhere to, cling to. That's the word that was used. All she did was touch his clothes. But the way she did it, it wasn't just to poke at somebody or let's see what this will do. That's not what happened. The way she touched him, she wanted to know. She wanted to know him, what he had to offer her, and what he could do for her life. She found out. And I thought about this. What did those other people want? The people that they were there, when they came, the Bible says in verse 40, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. He went on the other side of the sea to the Gadarenes, and we know the story there. And as he was coming back, because they asked him, leave, get out of town, go back where you came from. So he did. He came back, and he came back to the other side of the sea. And when he came there, this group of people, this multitude of people were there waiting for him. Why were they there? Why were these people there? Same thing I asked you. Why are you here tonight? Why were these people there waiting for Jesus? And I thought, what were they doing? None of them were saying, Master, change my life. Master, I want to get to know you more. Master, I want to touch you in an intimate way to where you would change my life and I would know you. Why were they there? Probably because they heard about him doing miracles and they wanted to witness it. They wanted to see it and experience church. Experience church. I think I've heard that phrase somewhere. experience church. They wanted to experience what he would do, to see it, to witness it. And you know, they got exactly what they wanted. He touched that lady, or that lady touched him, and they all witnessed a miracle that day of Jesus healing this woman 12 years. No hope, no help for her. 12 years she's dealt with this, and I'm sure she was poor as could be because she spent all. And as she came to that crowd, probably looking like a beggar, sick, poor, and touched Jesus, was able to stand healthy and say, I'm healed. I just needed to touch you. And he was healed immediately. I felt it in my blood. It was healed. And they probably went home talking about it. Wow, did you see that? Did you see what happened to her? Exactly what we've been hearing about it. We got to see it. But did they get changed? That's all they wanted. I believe that's all they wanted to do. That's what they were there for, is they wanted to witness a miracle. They wanted to see what Jesus can do, and they got exactly what they wanted. But yet this lady, she wanted something different. She didn't want to come and observe. She didn't want to come and sit back and say, I want to see what he'll do for someone else first. I want to see what he's going to do. I want to maybe follow him to Jairus' house and see if he can help them. Then maybe I'll trust. Then maybe I'll reach out. No, she wanted help. She needed help. She touched him to get healing, and she got exactly what she wanted. She got exactly what she came for. Those people got exactly what they came for. Is church something you do, somewhere you go, something you just observe? How many people today, especially in this live stream era, and I know there's people listening on live stream, and there's a lot of people who can't be here. Thank God. And I hope that you're praising God for the chance to be able to listen to the Word of God taught, because you can't be here. But how many people are satisfied with that? God, help us to be able to just observe church, to be observe and just witness and watch and be able to click it off and say, I did my church. But yet, how many of those people there in that crowd that day left the same way? I mean, Jesus was there. They touched him. Think about it. Touching the Son of God and leaving the same you came as you came. We talk about God being in our midst and moving amongst us, and we sometimes just don't understand how people can listen to the Word of God and know the Spirit of God's moving and let yet leave the building as they came. But these people actually was in the presence of the bodily Son of God, touching him, and left. I believe those people were there because they wanted something. They wanted to see something. They believed. I mean, would they have been sitting there waiting for him to come if they didn't believe that he could do miracles? I believe that. They believed it. They believed that he could do miracles and do great and wonderful things. They wanted a witness to his power. And they was. They got what they wanted. But Paul said, I want to know him. The power is resurrection. I think in this story, there's another character that's there, and I mentioned, but it's not mentioned by name, but we know he was there. Someone who's touched Jesus on several occasions. Someone very close to him. Someone I'm sure had embraced him, kissed him in greeting, as was the custom in those days, or in that area of the world, that's a custom, is they greet people, and the Bible talks about greet each other with a holy kiss. If you look, if you turn with me to Matthew, keep your place here, but Matthew chapter 9, it talks about this same instance. Here it says Peter and those that were with him, but in Matthew chapter number 9, verse 18, the Bible says, and while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. So I mentioned the disciples. We already talked about them. They were there. But we know one of his disciples. Hopefully, it's something that you learned, the disciples, all 12 disciples by name. But most of the time, they mention Peter, James, John, the three inner circle. But we know there are 12. One of the more familiar ones was the one that betrayed him, Judas. The Bible says the disciples were there. They followed. They witnessed. They were part of that multitude of people. And they asked Jesus, why are you even asking who touched you? Look at the crowd of people, the multitude that's thronging thee. And I think Jesus or Judas here is a prime example of someone that could touch Jesus but not be changed. Touching God but not being changed. You're there in Matthew. If you turn over a few pages to Matthew 26, we get the story of his betrayal. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 47. Jesus is speaking to his disciples after he found them sleeping. And he says, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Also find that very interesting. Jesus, knowing he was being betrayed, still called him friend. This was a close friend to him. As I mentioned, it was probably a custom several times as they greeted one another to greet with a kiss. We might find it strange and might giggle at it, but in that day, in that part of the world, they still do that. But this was his friend. And he told these people, this is going to be a sign, because it's not strange. It's something I do often. When I greet them, I'll say, hail, master, and kiss them on the cheek. And he told these people, this will be a sign, and that's exactly what he did. Jesus didn't hold back and say, whoa, what are you doing? No, this was something that he's done often. And I thought, how many times has Judas embraced them as they greeted one another, as Judas leaned over and kissed them on the cheek, and Jesus did the same to him and called each other friend? How many times has that had happened? But yet we know Judas never was changed. Called him the son of perdition, that he was lost. And I got to thinking, if you look with me back to Luke, and if you go to chapter 22, Luke's account of the same instance of the betrayal, it kind of goes in a little more detail as Jesus was praying. Luke, as the physician, wrote some physical things about Jesus that the other gospels don't get into as he was praying. Luke chapter number 22, if you look there in verse 39, the Bible says, And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? As you read this account here in Luke, it goes into, again, some of the physical things that Jesus went through as he was praying this prayer there in the Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane is the olive press. This was a place at the Mount of Olives, a place that they would press the olives. And olives aren't like grapes that you could just squeeze the juice out of a grape. An olive, you really got to press hard. And Jesus was under a lot of pressure. I think it's interesting that it lines up with this name of this place, the olive press. And Jesus was under the great pressure as he was praying. The Bible says that being in an agony. The other gospels, when it talks about him as he went to pray, one of them says he fell on his face. Under great sorrow, he just fell on his face and prayed. And this account, Luke says that as he prayed more earnestly, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Thinking about that blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin, the very blood of Christ, that the redeeming blood of the Lamb of God, there as he was praying more earnestly, was protruding from his face, that from that agony he was in. And I don't know all the medical details that would cause something like that. I've heard people talk about it. I don't know. But I know what the Bible says, that he prayed more earnestly and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood to the ground. And as he got up from prayer and went to talk to his disciples, as he was talking with them, Judas came and laid that kiss on his cheek. And I wonder if that blood was still on his face, if Judas could taste on his tongue the very blood that could have saved his soul. And yet he went into eternity with his sin lost, no change. I mean, he's a prime example of someone that can touch Jesus to be that close. He says over and over and over when it talks about him here in verse 47, Judas, one of the 12. Those 12 that turned the world upside down, the disciples of Christ that Jesus picked personally, those 12 out of all the people that went with them and traveled with him and seen miracle and got on the boats with him and was there when he called those demons out of that man in Gadara, those 12 people, Jesus, one of the 12, again, embraced him multiple times, kissed him on the cheek, and in this moment, the very blood that Jesus was shedding, and he kissed him. But yet, he didn't want anything from him. All he wanted was money. 30 pieces of silver. As he went to those priests and says, what will you give me if I give them to you? And they agreed. And he says, all right, that's what I want. And he got exactly what he wanted. When he got what he wanted, he realized, it's not what I want. I'm not going to want what I got. And he took the money, threw it in a field, and went out and hung himself. But he died, a lost man, on his way to hell, and is in hell tonight after kissing the very blood that could have saved him. How many people sit in church? How many people grow up in church and never be changed? Never be changed. It's not Jesus. It wasn't that his power didn't work on them. Again, these people got exactly what they wanted. These people in the story we're talking about, they got what they wanted. And I'm asking you, what do you want? Why are you here tonight? Why do you come to church? Because your parents made you? Some of you as adults, you come to church just because you've always done it? It's just a habit? It's just what I always do? I feel good about myself when I go to church? And I do. You ought to feel good about yourself by going to church, but is that why you come? Or do you want to know Christ? Do you come to know him? Do you come to get something from God's word that can change your life, that you would grow closer to God and closer to Christ and be more used of him? As the song was saying tonight, here's my everything. Do you come to give your all to Christ, to be able to know him and worship him as he ought to be worshiped? Or do you come to observe? You come to do. We're the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. The body of Christ. Have you been touched but not changed? It's not God's power that won't change you. It's whether you want it or not. Paul wanted to know that power of God, and he did. This woman wanted to know that power of God, and she did. Jairus wanted to know the power of God, and he got to see it as he raised his daughter. Judas wanted 30 pieces of silver, and he got it. The multitude of people wanted to witness a miracle, and they got it. What do you want? You want to see someone else's life change? I do. I do want to see people's lives change. But I want to know the power of God. I want to know him. And the more I come and the more I read the word, it draws me more to that conclusion. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to touch him. Not like the people that just handle him or whatever. I want to touch him like this lady that held on, that grasped him. Didn't want to let go, even though it was just a touch of his clothes. But that's that word, what it means, to hold on, to lay hold of, to not let go. An intimate touching. What do you want? If you don't want to be changed, chances are you won't. Just like these people. But if you do, if you really come to church, you come to church hungry. My Bible says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. If you're thirsty and hungry for God, God will fill you. If you just want to see something, I believe that's why those people, so many people who've grown up, sat in church, so supposedly gotten saved, I hope they have, but have left. Because they've gotten what they want. They've seen it. They've had enough of it. They're gone. But what do you want? What do you want? Let's all stand. I want you to really think about that question. What do you want from God?